time to saddle up on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed Alexander's producing and engineering our show, and Ed and I welcome you to the show. It is Thursday, the 11th of June, 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. But you don't need to be in front of a radio. As long as you're around a computer, many people live stream the program wherever they are in the world at kvoi.com and buckmastershow.com. Our podcasts and our complete show archive is available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, Democrat representing the 2nd Pima County Supervisorial District. At 12:30, we'll talk with environmental reporter Mitch Tobin, and then we'll close out the show with consumer contributor to the Buckmaster Show, Tom Collier. Tom's going to talk about the airlines getting ready perhaps to hit us with more fees making sure that our carry-on bags are even smaller. That seems to be the latest thing in the works from the airlines. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 on the Facebook page. If you would like to join us, there's still plenty of room on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. Let's welcome now Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Supervisor, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Real pleasure to be here, and I want to extend the congratulations to you, my friend. The Arizona Broadcasters Association is inducting you into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and it's certainly a rarity to have one of our own here in Tucson inducted into that organization's Hall of Fame, but congratulations, a well-deserved honor.
Thank you so much, Supervisor Valadez. Let's talk about this lawsuit. Mentioned it on Monday, a few minutes after the suit was filed. Pima County sued the state Monday, claiming its new budget illegally forces millions of dollars in education spending onto county taxpayers. The county's request for special action in the Arizona Supreme Court asked justices to undo the shift of more than $45 million in costs back to the counties in Governor Ducey's budget plan, which was approved by the legislature in March. It's kind of complicated, but can you kind of give us the bottom line? What does this mean?
Bottom line, the easiest way of putting this is whether or not we in Pima County have a right to decide where our monies are going to be spent, or is the state going to do that for us? That's the bottom line of this whole thing. In this budget, it gets a little complicated, and let me try and simplify it as much as possible. In 1980, we in Arizona adopted a constitutional amendment capping the homeowner's property tax on primary at 1%, so at $10 per $100 of assessed value. In 1981, the subsequent session after that was enacted by voters, the legislature did their constitutional duty and they enacted it. They said this is how it's going to run, and essentially what it did is when a school district's combined primary exceeded the 1% cap, the state levied a statewide equalization tax over the entire statewide base to then rebate or essentially fund that school district above the cap. Yeah, and that's how school districts, particularly those that are under desegregation orders by federal courts, like TUSD, were funded. This year, in order to save monies, the state came and said, we don't want to pay it anymore. You pay it. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem is not only the philosophy and the questionable nature of that rhetoric, but also the fact that they didn't really define it particularly well. They said, okay, well, we don't have time to figure it out because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, which it was. Mm-hmm. They said, we are going to punt it to the Property Tax Oversight Commission, mm-hmm. a non-elected appointed body with no other real legislative authority, now has the authority to decide who pays, how much they pay, what the legislature meant, because the legislature never said it. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is, as we talked about it in the past, it was not our intent to do anything with the rate this year because we didn't need to and we didn't want to. Mm-hmm. The state of Arizona has forced our hand. They've shifted, and it keeps changing. It's almost a daily shift. Almost $23 to $24 million to the Pima County budget. Between 17 to 18 and 0.8 million of those is this 1% shift. And here's the way it works out. Homeowners in TUSD that are reside in their own home mm-hmm. aren't affected.
Okay.
They won't see an increase.
Okay.
Those people that have homes in TUSD that they lease, mm-hmm. Businesses in TUSD, and then everybody else outside of TUSD will be funding this $18 million.
So even though they don't live in the TUSD district, they're funding this.
One might make the allegation, as a matter of fact, I would, that it's taxation without representation because they're not represented.
Let me ask you, is the bottom line here, were the lawmakers trying to punish TUSD?
I can only speculate on that. I mean, I spent 7 years up there, and I know that desegregation mm-hmm. has been an issue for many, many years. It's important to realize, however, that DSEG is not something TUSD did. DSEG is an order by a federal judge in a federal court. They are required to do certain things. So it's not really entirely in their control. My understanding is that the legislature was trying to do something about that, was trying to go after the voters in TUSD to convince them that maybe this wasn't what they wanted to do. And the truth is the only folks that aren't really affected are the voters of TUSD.
Okay. Let's switch subjects. We'll come back to this. Jim Kelly has been waiting very patiently, a friend of ours on the program. Jim, go ahead. You're with Supervisor Valadez.
Hi, good afternoon, Ramon.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am well. Hey, the $400,000 grant for the Brown Fields Initiative, do we have any idea who has a project that's ready to dip into that and get something going down here?
I don't know at this point, Jim. I'm aware that we've gotten the Brown Fields grants, and we're working throughout the community to try and make sure that it's used as effectively as possible. Obviously, you know, it does some real environmental benefit in our area, and frankly, opens up areas to both residential and commercial development in the future going forward through some of those resources.
So, if you would explain what that is, that's a $400,000 grant for Southside commercial development.
For example, let's say it needs a phase one assessment to make sure that there aren't environmental issues on a piece of property.
Oh, okay.
Some of those brownfield monies can be used in combination or solely to do that environmental study to make sure that it gets the check off, to make sure that we can actually move forward with that kind of, even if it's a park, if it's commercial development, if it's residential development, it opens that up and it's got that those resources to do those nice things.
So it would encourage,
right.
Enhance maybe.
Ultimately, yes.
Enhance mm-hmm. going ahead with development and economic development on the South Side. One of our Facebook friends wants me to ask you, why does Tucson lag so far behind Phoenix? Phoenix has completely recovered now from the recession, while Tucson still does not. People constantly compare the two cities.
Yeah, and in some cases, it's a fair comparison, and it's actually two counties, actually, is a fair comparison.
Yeah.
But the truth is that when we talk about an economic comparison, it doesn't compare apples to apples, okay? And for whatever reason, Pima County developed very differently than Maricopa County. If you look at the economic base, you've got a very diversified economic base in many different industries in Maricopa County. Obviously, it's the capital city. It's going to naturally attract that. For whatever reason, and we're trying a number of different things, including many of them in our written and economic development plan for Pima County, to try and diversify some of that for Pima County. But the truth is, for many years, we were a construction-based, service-based economy. So it's comparing apples to oranges. We are working right now with some of our biggest employers, obviously Raytheon, as most people know, and the Sonoran Corridor that's in the current bond, to try and really work towards diversifying more, because we on the Board of Supervisors recognize that is through economic diversity that we'll be able to come back. Sadly, that wasn't done before, for whatever reason. I mean, it is what it is. Going forward, we need to make sure that we recognize that. If you look at just a quick point, Maricopa and Pimas counties, most people don't really recognize that we are unique amongst the 15 counties. First of all, if you take all the population in unincorporated Pima County, we would be the second largest city in Pima County, with Tucson being the largest, obviously. So we provide those urbanized services that a city normally would. Like in Maricopa County, I believe like 6% of their population, maybe even less, is actually unincorporated. So they provide services to 6% as opposed to here, where we're the second largest population center. Secondly, we are also the only county in Arizona that does not have a sales tax. Every other county in Arizona, except for Pima County, has a sales tax. So we are completely reliant on property taxes. Those are kind of the things that differ.
All right, let's take our break right here. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez is with us. If you would like to call, this is a great opportunity, 790-2040. If you have a comment or question, Supervisor Valadez will be here for another segment. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's coming up on 12:20. Supervisor Ramon Valadez from the Pima County Supervisorial District Number 2 is with us. And getting back to this suit, the justices really have, they can take their time on this, or if they move before your August 17th deadline, that is the deadline Arizona law requires county to set the tax rates.
Yeah, ideally, Bill, what we'd like to do is have the Supreme Court review, put an injunction in place to keep the state from implementing this this new policy where they're shifting these costs of education to the county. And if they do that, what we can do is, obviously, next Tuesday, we will be adopting a final budget. But what's important about that August 17th date is if the Supreme Court acts before that date and rolls back this $18 million education amount, then we can just go ahead and roll back the primary property tax rate to where it was this year, because it was never our intent to raise the property taxes, but for what the state did. And as we told, as we talked about earlier, it's a moving target, but it's somewhere in the range of about $23, $24 million. It's a full third of what we collect in primary properties taxes. I mean, if we didn't have to collect monies for the state, we could reduce the primary property tax by a third.
Mm-hmm. So the if the Supreme Court decides, well, let's push this back to a lower court, that would take, obviously, a lot longer.
It could take at least a year. Obviously, we are prepared. What we tried to do is we narrowed down the complaint for the Supreme Court to two issues. And obviously, we stayed away from some of the other constitutional issues that were relevant to this. The state, if the Supreme Court chooses not to take jurisdiction over it at this time, we are prepared to file a lawsuit in Superior Court and work our way through the court system there. If we do go through the Superior Court as opposed to Supreme Court, we will then add the additional constitutional issues, not the least of which this budget did add revenues to state coffers, and there was no two-thirds vote. I was in the legislature when that was adopted.
You were in the legislature, I believe, for 7 years. Supervisor Valadez, what do you think of the current budget, the way the budget is drawn up and the process, current process?
What process? I only say that a very small part in jest. The truth is that what ended up happening is that the legislature was in session till 2, 3, and I believe 4 in the morning. This amendment that did this shift came from what we're told from the governor's office at the pretty much 11:45 hour in the budgetary process, was adopted. And subsequently, I think that many of the folks that adopted it are having buyer's remorse, because I don't think they realize the damage that they're doing. I mentioned the Property Tax Oversight Committee that gets to decide definitions and averages and numbers and really who gets hit and by how much. Doesn't mean until September. We won't know until then, and maybe not until after then, what the final amount or the totals are. Most people are just guessing, but based on it may affect a lot more people than Pima and Pinal County. We don't know.
All right, so there will be eight bond measures, different categories on the November ballot, and the city and county got together and decided there will be basically a two-for-one ballot in November.
Right, and thank you to my colleagues on the city council for what I think was a really good decision. The primary of the for the city is going to be done as normal through vote-by-mails. So that won't change. What will change is in the general election, We will do a combined ballot. And obviously, I believe we're going to have the city issues first, and then subsequently followed by the bond. I believe unless you have a permanent early ballot request, you're going to need to either put in a permanent early request or an early ballot request in general for this election in the general election. So it's going to be it can be a little confusing. We want to make that really clear. The primaries are going to be as normal. All city voters are going to be receiving a ballot in the mail. The general election, unless you're a permanent early ballot voter, you need to put in a request if you'd like to get a vote by mail or go to your polling location.
How do you think these bonds are going to do? I know you and your colleagues kind of had some mixed emotions about even going to the voters with the bonds, but you felt, I believe, it was time. It'd been a long time. So you could have waited, what, another year or two?
We could have waited until
2016.
The truth of the matter is that was not an easy decision for us. Because we recognize this as the one of your Facebook friends talked about, mm-hmm. we haven't recovered to a point where we had hoped to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that we were called upon by many people who spoke at that board meeting to not place the bond on the ballot, and that would be the democratic process. Maybe my high school civics instructor just taught me wrongly, but that wasn't really a democratic process to mm-hmm. me. The truth is, I think there's a lot of good things in the bond. There's a lot of good things that I believe will stimulate our economy. Everything from the $160 million on road monies that are going to be jobs to the Sonoran Corridor that not only are going to be jobs in building that section of the Sonoran Corridor, but ultimately working with our partners in the public and private sector will hopefully help to diversify our economy, which is what we talked about a little while ago. So over the long term, I think it was time to put this decision before our voters and let our voters make that decision.
And there is tourism, too, involved. That's a huge industry here. And people, if they haven't had a chance to go through the full eight measures, I strongly suggest they do so. And there's a lot of kind of iconic tourism items that are on there. We had Bob Vint, the architect for Sanavier Del Bac, was on the program yesterday. And I didn't realize that is also included some of the restoration work, because after all, it is a huge tourism attraction.
Oh, absolutely, Bill. I'll tell you that when they were doing the original restoration, they ran out of money on the restoration and never finished the East Tower,
mm-hmm.
Which obviously is very similar to what originally happened, although for very different reasons, when it was originally constructed. I would encourage people to go to our website, which is www.pima.gov/bonds. And there's a really good description, not only of the different projects, but there are maps there so you can see where they're at, how much money they're at. And one thing that I think it's important to point out at this point is the board, under state law, is actually required to pass a bond ordinance, which will outline in writing where we're going to spend bond money. So it's the accusation that we could be moving them around.
Yeah, that exactly you'd be accurate. Kind of playing with the money a little bit.
Before the first vote is cast, we are required by state law to adopt a bonding ordinance that in writing states where we're going to spend the money and what our schedule is. Obviously, one of the things that I did was I recommended that we place the road monies on there. We're front loading that. We are also, I think we talked about it the last time, that debt will be shorter than the life of the roads that they repair. So it's a little bit like buying a car. Mm-hmm. You finance it for 5 years, you pay it off in 5 years, it lasts for seven.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to make sure that was the same in this case.
And how is the county's bond rating right now overall?
It depends on the bonding ordinance. It's good. It's mm-hmm. everything from ranging from a AA- to a AA+.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is based on the fact that we have tried to be very fiscally prudent when it comes to maintaining our reserves. Standard practice that's accepted nationally is that you have 5 or 6% in the reserve, which is your rainy day fund, and we've been very prudent in maintaining that those levels.
Where would the bond for the roads? What would that be? Would that be fixing up roads or building new roads, or what would that be dedicated to?
It would be fixing up roads. No capacity building whatsoever. This is fixing up roads.
So there would be a full accounting for what would be done with and what roads would be taken care of.
Right. And there was a little error, a little glitch at a map that was put out that would be determined after the election. No, it will be determined before the election, and it will be determined in writing.
All right. And you had questions before you voted on this, and you were kind of thinking maybe this wasn't the best time for a bond election.
Well, you know, there are other decisions in life where there just may not be good time, the best time. And if you were looking for the best time, then this wasn't it. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a time that when it's necessary, when it can have a really good impact on our community, our economy, our future, our roads, our infrastructure, our tourism, then frankly, I think now's the time, and I do believe in our voters making the right decision.
All right. Supervisor Ramon Valdez with us for the first half hour on The Buckmaster Show. Supervisor, thank you for being with us on the program.
As always, thank you, Bill. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Ramon Valdez with us on The Buckmaster Show. We're at the halfway point on the Thursday edition of The Buckmaster Show. We will be right back. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. Mitch Tobin is our contributor of the Buckmaster Show on the environment. Mitch is the creator of EcoWest. EcoWest is a relatively new website about our environment, focusing on the West. Mitch is a former Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen reporter and author of a best-selling book titled Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. He joins us now on the live line from his home base, now up in Colorado. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great. Oh, it's good to be with you again.
You know, I was thinking about you when I saw this report that half of the wildlife population, the Earth's wildlife population, has been basically cut in half over the past 40 years. That from a study that was a lead study from the World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable statistic that came out of that study. So it was looking at what's happened over the past 40 years or so, and looking at things like mammals and birds and reptiles and other animals like that, the populations have declined around 50%, which is a pretty staggering number. And we're not talking about 50% of the species going extinct, but still the population going down by that amount in that stretch of time is pretty amazing. And it, you know, it confirms what we've heard from a number of studies for a long time about losses of biodiversity. It seems like in this report, as other studies have found, some of the biggest losses have been in the developing world. But it's important to remember that a lot of the resource extraction and activity in the developing world is often to support people here in the developed world and the goods we buy. So it's all connected, of course. And this was a pretty stunning headline that came out of this analysis.
And it reconfirms many of the things that you had been saying and have said in your book, Extinction. Certainly when you look at Latin America, that's pretty dramatic, the decline there. The overall population of mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, and fish fell 83%. That's amazing.
Yeah, in general, the rates of biodiversity and species richness tend to be highest near the equator. And so Latin America, the Amazon, places in Central America are some of the hot spots in terms of the number of species and, unfortunately, the threats in terms of extinction and biodiversity loss. And it seems that in a lot of other countries, especially in the developing world, it's often a problem of what's referred to as exploitation, which is basically just fancy talk for killing and hunting animals, often done illegally. And so if you're in a country that is, racked by poverty and maybe even a war going on, protecting wildlife populations isn't necessarily high on the priority list. Here in the United States, we've done a much better job of limiting problems with exploitation, but it still is an issue for some species. I mean, I think the most common example people use are reptiles, but there's a lot of illegal collection going on. Some of that happens, of course, in Arizona, where there are so many reptilian species. But here in the United States, we've done a pretty good job of limiting overhunting through smart management. But the other issues that are still an issue in the United States and globally are things like habitat loss and climate change. Those are much harder to limit or curtail than passing a law forbidding killing a certain animal. Those are much bigger problems.
Mitch Tobin is with us. Mitch is the creator of EcoWest. It's a website about our environment. And when you look at EcoWest, you've been kind of charting this drought, really weird weather that we have had here in the West. We had rain in the the first two weeks of June, the driest 2 weeks of the calendar, normally here in southern Arizona. Phoenix, to show you how dry it is, usually on a date a week or so ago, Phoenix had a trace of rain, Mitch Tobin, and guess what? That set a record for the date.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't take much.
No.
They're pretty low bar. Yeah, the weather here as well in Colorado has been pretty remarkable. Everybody has heard about the drought in California, which persists. It has not been wet there. But looking at the United States as a whole, the contiguous United States, May was the wettest on record. So even though we have what's considered one of the worst droughts in California in probably 1,200 years, we've also had other parts of the country, here in Colorado included, that have been exceptionally wet. And here in the Denver area, we don't actually get all that much more rainfall than you do in Tucson. Here, the average is around 15 inches. In Tucson, I believe it's around 12 inches. But there were some places just north of the city that received 7 or 8 inches in a few hours. So essentially, about half of a year's rain in just one storm that parked over there. And of course, that creates problems with flooding. And so it wasn't long ago that parts of Colorado were in a severe drought, and also Texas were struggling with drought, but then the system sort of whipsawed back into flooding. And this is actually consistent with what we've been told we're to expect to happen with climate change. And there seems to be a pretty clear consensus that the hydrological cycle just becomes hyperactive, if you will. So the droughts become deeper, the floods become worse, and the system just becomes very volatile because of all that extra heat in the system.
What about this spring, this late spring runoff, summer runoff in your area in Colorado? What is that going to do for what looked like shortages for the Central Arizona Project as early as next year in 2016?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like the very wet May and spring that we've had in at least parts of the West has bought a little bit of time, and so that was not expected that you would have this huge influx of moisture in May, but it is coming off of a season during the winter when the snowpack in many places outside of Colorado was very, very low, and so that's in some ways more important than this sort of late season burst, but that does help some extent. But it's important to remember that a lot of the rain and moisture that we've been getting here in Colorado is on the wrong side of the Continental Divide, and is not going to help Arizona or California via the Colorado River. And so if it's falling here on the Denver side, it's heading toward the Gulf of Mexico. Conversely, if it's falling on the western side of the state in Colorado, we do actually suck some of that water back across the divide, but it does eventually head down, you know, through the Grand Canyon, eventually to the Sea of Cortez, the Gulf of California, and is important for the entire Southwest water supply. So I guess the bottom line is that it has helped a little bit, at least in terms of the Colorado River, but it's really not much in terms of the long-term story. And in terms of California, they've really seen virtually no relief at all. And because of the weather patterns there, it tends to be dry at this time of year all the time. And really, people are looking toward the fall and winter and the snowpack as potentially helping out the drought there, and whether an El Nino develops and does that, nobody can say for sure, but nobody is expecting the California drought to go away anytime soon.
It looks like bad news coming up for California as they get ready to go into the wildfire season. We're in a little better shape, I think, here in Arizona, because our yearly rainfall is now close to 4 inches. And a year ago at this time, we had barely had any rain, measurable rain, here in Arizona. But I think California really has some major concerns as they get ready to get into the wildfire season.
Absolutely. And I think the important thing to remember is that a drought is something that tends to build up over time. And so it's not like the drought has just started in California. It's been several years, 3 or 4 years of very, very low snowpack and low moisture conditions. And, you know, just common sense tells you that when you have much drier conditions and a much more flammable situation, if conditions are right and there's a lightning storm, or if you have careless people starting fires, it could be potentially very bad. And so in some parts of the West, here in Colorado, for instance, where it's been wetter, we're not expecting a severe season. But it seems like all of the eyes are not only on California, but also even further up the coast in places like Oregon and Washington, where they had a very, very low snowpack season. And the issue there was that they actually got some precipitation, but it came as rain rather than snow. And so really from a water supply perspective and from a perspective of trying to keep a lid on wildfires, the snowpack is what really helped. But they had what was referred to as a wet drought.
A wet drought, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mitch Tobin, thank you very much. We can find out more about your work at ecowest.com. Is that correct?
Ecowest.org, that's correct.
Ecowest.org. Mitch Tobin, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great afternoon, Mitch. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
Coming up, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, Tom Collier. We'll talk about, maybe sizing down our carry-on luggage. That's what the airlines are now talking about. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview will be with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Our Friday roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Jim Ninsel, the Tucson Weekly. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A great place to get away for the weekend, or if it's not the weekend, a great place to go during the week. And it's only 3 hours east of Tucson. And what's beautiful this time of year is that, you know, you get that elevation above the kind of mile high level of that 5,500 to, say, around 7,000 feet. The air is just kind of crystal clear, and the night times are relatively cool, and the daytimes are mild. So it's a great weekend getaway, lots of outdoor activities, including visiting just north of Silver City, the world famous, the National Monument for the Gila Cliff Dwellings. It's a great trip over to Silver City, and many nice places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guest Resort. So you can find out all about Silver City by visiting Southwest New Mexico. Spell that out .org. Let's welcome Tom Collier. Mr. Collier, our consumer affairs contributor on the Buckmaster Show, and this is my first chance to say publicly to you, Tom, thank you very much for hosting a great hour. You and Vince Robigo did a great job talking consumer affairs.
Oh, you're too kind.
While I was away over in Hawaii, and really enjoyed it. And I think we're going to do it again the first week of September. We're going to bring you two back, I hope.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. What's the deal with the airlines?
Let's restrict that question down a little bit to what's the deal with the airlines and luggage.
Because goodness.
You've seen, there was a story in yesterday's paper about this particular situation, but it's a creation of a significant amount of uncertainty. And if you have a flight in your plans over the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, or like over the summer vacation, if you're planning on taking a plane somewhere, be prepared for some uncertainty with respect to carry-on baggage. Now, what has happened is that there have been some changes and some suggestions about redefining the size of what a carry-on bag would accommodate, or what's defined as a carry-on bag. The problem is that each airline, not only in the United States, but each airline in the world, defines the size of what it considers to be an acceptable carry-on.
There's no universal standard.
There's no universal standard. There is a recommendation, and we'll get to that in a minute, which, by the way, was issued in centimeters. I've done the math, and we'll convert it to something.
Thank you for doing the math.
We can understand here. But, you know, if you go up to the check-in counter, there's usually over to your left somewhere, over to the right, somewhere in the vicinity of the check-in, this little cage or grate that you're supposed to fit your carry-on bag into. And if it fits, then you're good to go.
The operative word there is supposed to check. And I've seen people practically bring steamer trunks to get them in the overhead.
Well,
it's crazy.
The whole thing is out of control. And
it
so what you're going to be confronted with is a choice of either buying a new carry-on bag. Mm-hmm. And what is so uncertain is there are world travelers who've traveled for decades with the same bag as a carry-on bag that all of a sudden they're getting refused when they try to carry it into the cabin. So the International Air Transport Association suggests an optimal carry-on size, and this is once again translated to inches from their suggestion in centimeters, of 21.5 inches tall by 13.5 inches wide by 7.5 inches deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a lot smaller than a lot of the carry-on bags that are offered in the luggage stores right now. And this is one of those things where the weasel wording on the sales tag says, you know, this bag should fit most airline requirements for carry-on.
Yes. Again, another operative word,
most and should. So odds are that if you buy one of those things there and you do a lot of traveling with it, you're going to either get dinged with the requirement that it be put in checked baggage, or you're going to or you may be lucky and be allowed to carry it on, or the alternative is to have it checked at the gate. And a lot of airlines are getting away from gate checking carry-on bags because it creates a problem and a bottleneck when people are trying to deplane and get off the plane. So at any rate, it's one of those situations where it's going to bear some watching, but if you've got a flight in your future, you pays your money and you takes your chances.
Now, I understand Southwest has a little different policy. Usually their carry-on bag limits are quite a bit smaller than the other airlines. So I think they may be closer to these numbers that you just gave.
That's possible, but I know that Southwest is the one major carrier in the U.S. that does not charge the fee for the first bag.
Yeah.
So that may be one of the reasons for their popularity. But most of the other domestic airlines charge $25 for the first bag, and I think as high as $75 for the second bag. So, the conspiracy theorists are saying, aha, this is either a plot between the airlines to drive up the price of luggage stock, luggage manufacturing stock, or it's a plot to drive their customers into paying the baggage check fee.
Tom Collier with us, 790-2040, if you would like to call in with your comment. Tom, when someone makes a purchase, is there anything called a cooling off period where you have a chance, it could also be referred to, I guess, as a buyer's remorse period. Do you have a chance or is there a period?
I do, and I've got a summary on that. A lot of people mistakenly think that that applies to any purchase that they make. It does not. There are only certain types of purchases, and both federal and state law in Arizona give you certain privileges as a consumer, but not every purchase, just certain types of purchases. The main thing to remember about is called the right of rescission or the 3-day cooling off period is it primarily applies to purchases that you make in your home where you sign the agreement or you sign the purchase agreement in your home or in a location which is not the seller's ordinary place of business. So you have a situation where a company comes into town and they'll rent a hotel ballroom and they'll sell, I don't know, whatever they sell, timeshares or something like that, and that's not their reasonable and that's not their customary place of business, you have the right of rescission there. But the main thing that is that this applies if you sign the contract in your home. And, like these people who go out and try to sell you $3,000 vacuum cleaners, they'll, demonstrate it on
or
your
carpeting
carpet.
Yeah.
If you sign the contract in your home, In fact, there was a company here in town. Everybody can sing their telephone number if you watch any television, the one I'm talking about, that was hit with a $100,000 fine and a settlement with the Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division because they did not explain this 3-day right of rescission. But let's go over them very quickly. And let me explain the exception here, too. There is an exception if you have an emergency in your home and say, like, your pipe springs a leak and you
flooding,
call a plumber and you have to sign a contract in your home. For emergency situations, the right of rescission does not apply. But, for example, it says that the Federal Trade Commission says the right applies anytime you sign a contract in your home or at your workplace or like in a dormitory at college or at facilities that are rented by the seller that are not their reason, that not their ordinary place of business, like convention centers. Now, you buy a car at the dealership, you don't have a 3-day right of rescission. You buy a car at a convention center that's been rented for the wonderful, tent sale or something like that, you have the 3-day right of rescission.
I did not know that at all.
You sign the agreement. One of the ways they get around that is to say, well, here's the initial paperwork. Come down to the dealership and we'll finalize the deal.
Oh, okay.
The law, that happens a lot. But let's talk about some other things. In Arizona, if you're solicited by telephone, you can cancel that order within 3 business days. If it's sales of credit services, you can cancel the purchase that you made within 3 business days. In Arizona, health spa contracts and gyms, this is more interesting for people who, after their New Year's resolutions, sign up with a gym or something like that. But and the derivation of this was back when Arizona was the land fraud capital of the country, we were also the fraud capital of the country for these types of health contracts. They were selling 30-year lifetime contracts to 90-year-old widows and refusing to let them cancel. So now you can cancel if it's a gym contract or a health spa contract. You have 3 operating days after you sign the contract to get it down to tell them that you don't want that. And also another one is discount buying services. These discount buying services where you pay a large initiation fee and then supposedly you get to buy from the manufacturer, the manufacturer's catalogs. Those things also you're allowed to rescind the deal within.
If you have a bad meal, you can't.
Rescind. Not allowed.
Cooling off period. Terry had a quick question. Hey Terry, calling us at 790-2040.
Yes, very quick indeed. Tom, how are you? Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tom, this question is, we're in a national city, so says the international airport. Are the fees too darn expensive for Japan Airlines, Lufthansa, and Italia, and England? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Aren't we international? Don't we want business here? Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Can I kind of help on
sure,
this one?
Yeah.
I think when you're dealing with international flights coming in, you've got Phoenix up the road.
Yeah.
And it just makes, at this point, more sense for international carriers. We are trying at the airport to get in, like WestJet out of Calgary to come down here.
And Tucson is international. Yeah. Are we still served by Aeromexico?
Not at this point, but we are trying to
So we have no international flights in Tucson?
I do not think so.
Scheduled carriers.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, it is difficult when you got Phoenix up the road. Tom, out of time. I again appreciate all you do for the show. Thank you
Thanks.
So much.
Thanks. One final word of caution before we go.
Yeah.
Flood-damaged cars coming from Texas. Watch out if you're buying a used car this summer.
Really? Good point. Yes, from all the floods in Houston. Yeah, especially South Texas there. Okay, Tom Collier with us on the Buckmaster Show for Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw comes along with his hour talk show every day from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander engineers those 3 hours of local talk, and I'm Bill Buckmaster, and I'll be back with you tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus interview will be with Steve Kasachek. We'll be back Friday. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.